Welcome into ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5 FM. My name is Angelo Carriero, and welcome in on this beautiful Sunday morning. We are going to be talking a lot about Kentucky today, and I'm very excited. We're finally in that sweet spot of time where we've got Kentucky football coming up, Kentucky basketball. You're starting to get, oh, who's committing now, and how are the practices going? They're already practicing for basketball. NFL, I know it sounds crazy, but we're right around the corner from NFL season starting, and for the first time, I believe, ever, we have an NBA playoffs going on. And we have so much sports to talk about. It's such a wonderful time. Give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313 to talk about anything under the sports sun that you want to today. You can follow me at Angelo Media Lex. You can follow the station at ESPN Radio Lex. And one thing before I get into the way I see it this morning is I'm going to have Tate's Creek's boys head basketball coach, Gerard Gay, on to talk about a couple of the things that that have been going on in the city. For those who don't know, Michael Wade died in a shooting a couple of weeks ago. It's kind of hard to talk about even for me. But he was a Tate's Creek boys basketball player, and he was at an event with some friends, and apparently, you know, some gunfire happened, and he was tragically murdered. And then a couple, I believe it was, getting my dates right, just this week or late last week, there was a shooting at the Fayette Mall, and a former Tate's Creek player was arrested in with tampering of evidence in the scene. But I'm going to let Coach talk more about what was going on there, and just a message that he has for everybody. So again, head coach of Tate's Creek boys basketball, Gerard Gay, is going to be joining me, and that will be at 10:45, around 10:40 to 10:45, that we are going to have him on. But right now, as we wait for everything that's going on, there's so much going on today. But first, we are going to talk about what I think is the biggest news that happened over the last couple of days, and this is the way I see it, involving Keon Brooks. And he made ESPN's front page of news on Friday, as Myron Metcalf wrote, "Kentucky basketball player Keon Brooks Jr. supports changing name of Rupp Arena." Oof. That is, of all things, that is probably, I mean, with everything going on in the nation, obviously, not nationally, but here, this whole Rupp Arena name change thing has rubbed a lot of people the absolute wrong way, and for some people, they think that the name change is warranted. So why is that? Well, there's been connections between Coach Adolph Rupp, really the pioneer of Kentucky's dynasty of college basketball, winning his program in college basketball history. A lot of that is due to him. But there have been ties to racist acts, the integration. I think everybody remembers the Texas Western 1966 Kentucky loss. That was the all-starting five of black players, and Rupp all white, and, you know, they lost. And that was a big point of history in not only then, but in the movie that came out kind of celebrating that. And not that that's the tie to racism by any means. It's just an example of kind of like the using Adolph Rupp as an example of the contrast between the African-American and white players. But Keon Brooks said that he backs a push from black faculty members in the school's African-American. Again, this is from Myron Metcalf at ESPN.com. A push by black faculty members in the school's African American and African Studies department to change the name of Rupp Arena. This is what Keon Brooks said. He said, "Being honest, I haven't educated myself well enough on Adolph Rupp or just the whole situation at hand to really give you my thoughts on it," said Brooks, who is also a member of the SEC Council on Racial Equality and Social Justice. From what I do know, I would like to see a name change just basically because of what his name is and what that's connected to and what that kind of represents. I would like to see a name change. So that's essentially just what he said. And then the Faculty of African American and Africana Study Programs and the Commonwealth Institute of Black Studies offered their support to Keon Brooks. So that caught the ire of some people, and I'm going to get into this just here in a little bit, on social media etiquette for what's been going on, not only with this situation, but with Kentucky football. So like I said, that really got people going, and it got to the point where even our head coach at the University of Kentucky, John Calipari, had to come out and say, give a statement. He said, "Big Blue Nation," and this is Coach John Calipari, "Big Blue Nation, I know some of you are upset with Keon's comments regarding Rupp Arena. Let me tell you, he's a very smart person and a very conscientious young man. However you feel about what he said, my hope is you show him the respect that all of our and your players deserve. My job is to make sure all of our players are educated on all that goes along with Coach Rupp's name, and we are going to walk through that. My plan is to get former players on a Zoom with our current guys so they can ask those players directly about Coach Rupp. My focus has been on everything going forward, which is why we hadn't addressed it. As I've said before, give these players the benefit of the doubt. If you're unhappy with anything, be unhappy with me, not a 19-year-old who is walking through these really difficult times. I love you all." How John Calipari ended his Facebook. That comes directly from John Calipari's Facebook, in a post on there, which is great supporting a player. It really goes back to the Winning Gabriel situation that I talked about a month ago, on how a situation where Cal does that for a current player, it really helps Keon. It really defends Keon, whereas Winion's kind of, like I said, he's out in sea without a raft. So that kind of ties in Keon Brooks, what he said with Coach Cal said. And I don't think really Keon, I think Keon even in his statement admitted fairly that he wasn't well educated on it. He's just taking guidance from the leadership at the University of Kentucky in the African American Studies programs, which I don't think is a bad thing, especially if that's what he believes in. I do also believe that there is nuance when it comes to something like Coach Rupp in his past. It's making sure that you know the information. I don't think anybody really wants to be associated with someone that, if it came out that he was absolutely a racist person, that you wouldn't obviously want that associated with your university or your university's basketball arena. But that's not the situation we have at hand right now. What we do have right now, though, is in the middle of an entire social justice reformation movement. And with the NBA postponing for 2 days their games, with what Keon said, and then with the UK football practice walkout, it's so evident inside of our sports that it is essentially an unavoidable topic. Now, we will get into other sports, but to ignore the situation at hand and what's been going on is, to me, unavoidable. And you were listening to ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM. Angelo Carriero with you on this Sunday morning. You can give me a call at 381-1313, 381-1313. Follow me on Twitter at Angelo Media Lex, and follow the station at ESPN Radio Lex. So the NBA postponed because of the murder in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I'm not sure if you all are much on social media presence. It has become, in comment section, especially in support of the Black Lives Matter, which is another thing I'll be talking to our guest today, Gerard Gay, head boys basketball coach at Tate's Creek. It's not been pretty. And I will tell you one thing that has really intrigued me is looking at what the players see, because it's not an understatement that kids and players these days are all over social media, and they see everything and they react to everything in one way or another. Notre Dame football, for an example, posted a Black Lives Matter support tweet, and that made national rounds on the comments under that section for the lack of support and the they got shot down, essentially. No, absolutely no pun intended. I'm saying that the Notre Dame thing, I mean, the people in the comments section just were so abhorrently against that tweet that Notre Dame sent out, and it was alarming. And you kind of think, well, maybe that's just Notre Dame's fan base. That can't be everywhere. But I'm not going to go through and read what I saw on UK football's comments on Facebook, which was another one of the huge social media things that happened over the weekend. But UK football had a walkout at their practice, and with Coach Stoops, with Coach Morrow, with the staff, with the team, everybody came out, and everybody's united. Coach Stoops is united. Coach Morrow talked about how happy and excited that he was that he has a head football coach like Coach Mark Stoops to help lead those young men. But on Facebook, the comments were not kind. That a lot of the classic trope of the shut up and dribble, it was very similar. You go out and play football, you keep this stuff out of the limelight, and that's just not possible. That's just not possible. It's not possible to avoid talking about it or avoid noticing it, and it really goes against the ethos of what these young men that we go out and support every Saturday, or in the terms of basketball, every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Friday, whatever. To not talk about it would be against what these young men are trying to do, young men everywhere on a national level. If Coach Stoops supports it, and Coach Morrow and Coach Cal, all leaders of the programs that we all love and spend our time and our money and invest our emotions in, then we have to recognize that the people that do that sport or whatever for our entertainment, for our support, for our unity as a community, we can't just ignore it. And there is nuance everywhere that we go, like with the rep name change and with other types of where people want to talk about statues or this or that. But one thing that is not, that takes no nuance at all, is that people deserve to be treated with respect, and people deserve to be treated with equality. And with those Facebook comments, all the men, all the young men on UK's football team especially, saw that, and a lot of shake my heads, because they see who essentially like supports them, and that doesn't represent everybody, but it does represent a certain portion of the fan base that does not want to hear these young men's voice and does not care about them. And we have to do a better job as a group to support these young men, not only on the field, but we have to support and protect them as a community off of the field. And that's the way I see it. I'm going to take a break here for just a second. We got a call coming in on the line. Just remember, you can give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313. Well, coming up, we're going to talk about UK football. I couldn't get to get the sound bites of Coach Grant and Stoops that I wanted to, but I do have some observations by them, and then a couple interesting ones, including the future of the quarterback position at the University of Kentucky. And that'll be all next on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5 FM.
Listen if you're listening, y'all. Swing it while I'm singing. Hey! Give it what you're getting. Knowing what I'm knowing. While the black band
swing. Welcome back into ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5 FM. Streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. My name is Angelo Carriero, and I am your host for the show, and I want to make a correction of what I said in the last segment. I said that there was a murder in Kenosha. That was incorrect. I had slipped of the tongue. Jacob Blake, who was shot where the protest have happened, that included the NBA's postponement and the revitalization, I think, of a lot of the demonstrations with the Black Lives Matter movement in Kenosha. He is not dead. He's still alive. He is paralyzed from the waist down, but he is not dead. And I slipped up and I said he was murdered. So thank you for calling and correcting me on that. But moving on, speaking of the UK football practice walkout, that was just momentarily because the UK football team is full go, practicing, getting ready for their first game against Auburn in a season that I think a lot of people are excited about around here in Lexington. And not just excited because of the amount of talent that the team has. Obviously, that is a reason for excitement. The return of Terry Wilson, a high-ranking offensive line, not just in the conference, but nationally. And then seeing how the secondary last year went from, to me, that could have been considered the least experienced secondary in all of college football, that turned into actually a very productive and beneficial unit to the Cats last year. But it's a bit more about the mindset that fans have now. I think that Coach Stoops has proven that he has a sustainable program here, and fans don't just expect going to a bowl game or we're shooting for that. I think there's a little bit more behind it. I don't think that we all expect UK to start beating Georgia and Florida and Tennessee and LSU and Alabama every single week, every single year. But I do think that there is an expectation and more of a pride that we have taken in the program as fans of the team, as supporters of Kentucky football, because of what Coach Stoops, Coach Morrow, Coach Grand, Coach White, everybody's built. And with practice starting up, my first observation from, I listened to a couple of the Zooms. I still can't get used to saying Zoom, and especially just the shock of where Zoom kind of came out of nowhere for me, and Skype just completely went to the wayside. I just find all of that pretty stunning, but neither here nor there. They talked to the media via Zoom the other day, and I thought they had some really good information. And the first piece of information I wanted to hit on was, I honestly had doubts about Terry Wilson and his ability to come back from his knee injury. I mean, it was brutal. I mean, we all saw what happened last year when he was injured. Knee injuries to mobile quarterbacks, a guy that, I mean, think about the Florida game, how well he was on the ground that helped with Benny Snell to get that victory against Florida and 2 years ago. But I just thought that maybe his road would be a longer way to walk for something like that. Doesn't seem to be the case. Not only did Coach Stoops talk very confidently about him, now Coach Stoops has been clear to protect Terry in practices. He's not just letting him take body blows left and right and risking a re-injury before game day, but he is letting Terry get out there and prove that he's going to be able to take that week one starting quarterback job, and every single sign points to him being ready, including Terry went on to the Paul Feinbaum show. And when he spoke about his injury, about himself, I think that I'm a pretty good indicator of BS. Like, if that meter's ticking, I can tell when it's really going off. And I think that's easier for most people to see than not. Well, either Terry Wilson and Coach Stoops are genius conmen, or they're just being honest. And it seems like that Terry's going to be ready. I think that's excellent. I think that's excellent news, not only for Terry, but for the team, because having Terry back does have a type of effect mentally on your belief about the team. But if he's healthy, it gives you the idea that, oh, it's competitive now. It's not just he's going to be back there. Is he a shell of himself? Is he not? Well, if he can throw like he did in 2019 in those first two games, and he can run like he did in 2018 with his experience, you definitely have the chance to see a special player this coming year. Will I guarantee it? I'm skeptical. I've always been skeptical of Terry, but at the same time, I have been willing to be open. Like I said, those first two games last year before he got hurt, I thought his passing had improved. I never doubted the guy when it came to his running ability. I think he is a fantastic athlete. And now with his health, and Coach Stoops believing in it, and Terry himself believing in it, I think that is a good sign for the current state of the quarterback position. But what I am thrilled to hear about is the future of the position and who I think is the future of the Kentucky football program, and that's none other than former Lexington Catholic quarterback Bo Allen. I've seen tweets, heard Coach Stoops talk about it. Coach Stoops said he's as advertised, exactly who they wanted to bring in when kind of building the class around Bo Allen and around that future of the quarterback position. I remember at signing day, everybody's curious about Joey Gatewood at the time, and we're going to get to some news about some news about Joey Gatewood. Nothing, no confirmation on the transfer, but there was an interesting tidbit that relates to him. With Bo Allen, Coach Stoops said that was the guy they had to get. That was the main focus, getting Bo Allen to the University of Kentucky. And to me, I can totally understand why. You watch him at Lexington Catholic and you saw a kid that is wise beyond his years when it comes to throwing the ball. In high school football, when you see pretty advanced routes down the field for a quarterback, you have to be special because there's only a handful of guys each year in the state that can really pull off an advanced passing offense. And he did it for years and he did it at a high level. And they are really talking Bo up in camp. Know that one tweet said that he got hit under his chin as he threw a 40 to 50 yard pass right on the money in practice, which is a good sign that, you know, just that he's ready to game. He came there ready to play. And I'm going to be honest, I think Bo Allen has the potential to be the best quarterback Kentucky's seen since Tim Couch. And that parallel lies both to Tim Couch as a former Kentucky boy coming to the University of Kentucky. A lot of hype on Tim, a lot of hype on Bo. And I think that the talent's there. I think Bo Allen, when we talk about who's going to be the backup, who's going to be what, everybody thinks that Joey's going to come in once he's cleared for 2 years and Bo's going to take over. No, I truly, truly believe that Bo Allen is probably, as soon as they feel like he's ready, regardless of the other players on the team or other quarterbacks in the stable, I think he's next. And guys, I think that we might see something truly special here to kick off the 2020s once Bo gets into the starting quarterback position. And I'm interested to see what Coach Grant has for him when that time comes around, because really in the last 4 years, what we've seen is just a really run-heavy attack. And, you know, I love Steven Johnson as a quarterback, and I thought Steven Johnson did well. But with Terry and his limitations, and then obviously when he got hurt, Sawyer got hurt, and it led to Lynn Bowden becoming the quarterback, we haven't really got to see what Eddie Grant's mind is when it comes to a really advanced, developed passing game. And I'm excited to see what he can do. Now, am I also scared? Yeah. I'm not exactly sure if he's going to be able to unlock everything in Bo, but if Bo committed to Kentucky and he trusts Eddie Grand to bring out the best in him, I'm gonna do the glass half full before I look at it half empty. This is Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313. Follow me at Angelo Media Lex on Twitter and follow the station at ESPN Radio Lex. A couple of other pieces of news. Josh Ali was called the best wide receiver in the camp so far by Coach Stoops, which is good to see. I think Josh Ali is a very fun wide receiver to watch. It'll be interesting to see how he develops. I told you a piece of news that we would hit on with Joey Gatewood is more of a connection to what's frustrating me so much, is that Wake Forest just got accepted a transfer named Isaiah Wilkins from Virginia Tech, and he was approved to play immediately in 2021 for the Demon Deacons. And like I said before, JT Daniels transferred from USC to Georgia, as well as Jamie Newman from Wake Forest to Georgia to play quarterback like that. And we're still waiting on Olivier Saar. We're still waiting on Joey Gatewood to get approved. And this reminds me again, like I talked about last week, about Xavier Peters and how he came over here from Florida State, and it took until the beginning of the regular season for him to get cleared. And it's just that whole elitist college football mindset, or college basketball for that matter, on why does Kentucky get the short end of the stick? In basketball, that's what, I mean, that surprises me more than anything. We're the top program in the nation. How can Olivier Saar still not be cleared? And in football, it's just run-of-the-mill same things. If you're Ohio State, if you're Georgia, you get a transfer, all good. You're good to go. Might as well just trade at this point and just have them immediately eligible the second they say they want to go to a power conference or a top power conference school instead of Kentucky for some reason that I guess Kentucky doesn't matter as much to the eyes of the NCAA transfer waivers. And it's just with everything that's gone on the last 12 months trying to get players approved, it's got under my skin. I can't lie. And the last piece of news before I take a break, and Tate's Creek head boys basketball coach Gerard Gay will be on with me at 10:45 to talk about some of the things that have happened around the city, maybe even a little sooner. But Jagger Burton, who I had on a couple of weeks ago, is going to commit today at 6 p.m. And he whittled his school down to five. He actually took Penn State and what he said was his dream school in Texas off of his list. So his top five, I'm doing this from recollection, so be patient with me. It's Kentucky, it's Alabama, it's Oregon, it is Ohio State, and I just had the last team. Let's see, I said Alabama, Oregon, Ohio State, Kentucky, and I guess it truly, I don't know, doesn't really matter. On the fifth school, because my prediction, and this is, you know, I wouldn't go to a betting line and put it out there. Let's see. By the way, like I said, and the last one was Clemson, of course, where Walker Parks, his teammate last year, committed to and is going to be a true freshman at Clemson. So he's going to announce today at 6 p.m. I have a feeling, not a surety, but I do have a feeling that he's going to commit to Kentucky today. So if we had a prediction meter and where mine would lie on, it'd be the University of Kentucky. So watch out for Jagger Burton's commitment at 6 p.m. today, and then hopefully we can get him on the show here soon. All right, I'm going to take a break for just a second. We're going to talk a little bit more about some sports news before getting Coach Gay on the line with us. So don't go anywhere. I hope you're having a good time, good as a time as I am, and we will be back here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. All right, welcome back to ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM. This is Angelo Carriero with you on a beautiful Sunday morning. Give me a call at 381-1313. Just really quick, though, I don't have a lot of time before we get my guest for today on. It's Tate's Creek boys head basketball coach Gerard Gay, and he's going to be talking about some of the things that have happened here in the city over the last couple weeks. And I just felt like he's someone that's a very important voice in the midst of everything going on right now, and I wanted to talk to him. You can follow me at Angelo Media Lex on Twitter, and you can follow the station at ESPN Radio Lex. Like I said, only a couple minutes to fit a call in, but also fit some news items in. The NBA had a postponement on Thursday and Friday, but started back up yesterday. Nothing huge that went on. I mean, Milwaukee and the Lakers both advanced, but that was kind of expected. I think we all kind of thought that they would end up winning that series, especially with Dame Lillard out for Portland and Milwaukee in that game two on. They just turned it back on, and they look like they are ready for playoff mode. But Russell Westbrook returned last night for the Houston Rockets, and the Rockets hit their threes. They went on a 19-2 run, and they blew out the Oklahoma City Thunder to go up in the series 3-2. And Nerlens had a decent game yesterday, but Shea kind of struggled. And it's interesting to see how Shea's going to develop as time goes on, because I can't help but think of that Kansas State game where Shea was, to me, Shea was the team. In 2018-19, He was the team that year. Let's see. Was that 2018-19? I'm trying to get my NBA drafts right now that I'm going through them. No, I think that was 2017-18 would be the correct year on that one. Shea was the team. And once it got to Kansas State, after the first couple possessions, they would not let Shea in the lane. And they kind of, you know, were rough with him. And it took him out of the game, and it ruined the team's chances. And sometimes I still kind of see that at the NBA level. And now, I mean, you can put that on me just because I had the preconceived notions of what I've seen before. But he did kind of struggle. Now, I would say that I would take Shea over Jamal Murray, which a lot of my friends completely disagree with me about, because I just find Jamal Murray way too streaky. But I'll tell you what, when he's good, he is good, because Jamal Murray pretty much saved, in my opinion, Denver from getting eliminated, because Utah went up 3-1, and I kind of thought, you know, I thought Denver was going to win the series, but it's over with, you know, pack your bags up. And Jamal Murray went absolutely nuclear over his last couple of games. In the two games, in two game span, Jamal Murray had 92 points, which was 18 more than the previous record of scoring in Denver Nuggets history for a two-game span, which was by Carmelo Anthony with 74 points. He had 50 points on 18 to 31 shooting, 7 assists, 11 rebounds in game 4. And then in game 5, he had 42 points, 17 to 26 shooting, 8 assists, 8 rebounds, and no turnovers in either game. Jamal Murray's highs are unbelievably high. And they face Utah at 8:30 tonight. So that's going to be a really fun. That's an elimination contest. And if you like watching Kentucky Wildcats in the NBA, Jamal Murray's, I don't know, he has a lot going on. He can really kind of boost his profile, or he can kind of shrink back to how he kind of performs sometimes with his inconsistency. I'm interested in seeing that. We've got likely the conclusion of the Clippers-Mavericks series, unless Dallas can force a Game 7 as Kawhi Leonard faces Luka Doncic in this one. I think that the Clippers should wrap it up, but we will see on that game. I thought the Clippers were going to sweep the Mavericks, and then for a second it looked like the Mavericks were going to actually take the series from the Clippers, and we were going to anoint Luka as the new king. But who knows? But I'll take the Clippers in that one. And then the first second-round series starts today at 1 p.m., Boston and Toronto. I have Toronto in that series, but should be a lot of fun. I think that's a series where there's not a huge amount of star power in it, but a lot of good basketball. And finally, before we get Coach Gay on here in just a couple of minutes, I want to give my predictions for tonight's WWE Payback pay-per-view, which, yes, a pay-per-view a week after SummerSlam is a little odd, but I think it all makes sense now. Roman Reigns returned in the main event of SummerSlam after Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, defeated Braun Strowman to win the Universal title. Roman Reigns popped up to spoil that party. Looks like he's aligning with Paul Heyman, and if this results into kind of a dark run for Roman Reigns, it could be one of the more fun things in wrestling in a while. So here are the matches. Riot Squad versus the Iconics. I'm a huge Iconics fan, but I'll take the Riot Squad in that. Big E versus Sheamus. I'm really excited to see what Big E's singles run is going to be, and I think that he can't. Essentially, I don't think he's going to lose his first pay-per-view match as a singles competitor since he joined the New Day. So I'm going to take Big E in that contest. Matt Riddle versus King Corbin. I think Matt Riddle will end up defeating King Corbin at some point, but I think Corbin with a little chicanery, maybe by Shorty G, that King Corbin is going to win that match. Apollo Crews is the United States champion, and he is going to face off against Bobby Lashley. I actually predicted this last week. I had Cruz beating MVP, and then the next pay-per-view, Lashley was going to take it off of Cruz. I do think that Lashley wins the United States Championship tonight. We've got Bayley and Sasha Banks as the women's tag team champions versus Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. I have no idea. They keep the titles on Bayley and Sasha all the time against even my well-known wishes. I'm just going to keep choosing the other side until I'm right. I'm going to go Shayna and Nia Jax here. Keith Lee versus Randy Orton. That's a fun match. Keith Lee just debuted on Monday night. He goes against the Viper, Randy Orton. This seems like a logical spot for Keith Lee to get his first win, but Randy Orton's the hottest thing in wrestling going on right now. I do think Randy Orton finds a way to win. Dominic Mysterio and Rey Mysterio. So if you like the old Rey Mysterio, it's him and his son versus Seth Rollins and Murphy. I think that Seth Rollins and Murphy probably find a way to one-up and avenge. I guess not avenge the loss. I guess Dominic did lose at SummerSlam, so this does seem like a spot where maybe they win, but I'll take Rollins and Murphy anyways. And then finally, The Fiend Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman in a no-holds-bar triple threat match for the WWE Universal Championship. I think this whole entire pay-per-view was built off of giving Roman Reigns the title back and starting whatever massive run that he's going to go on. So I'm going to take Roman Reigns in the main event of Payback tonight. Coming up, I'm going to be talking to head coach of Tate's Creek Boys Basketball, Gerard Gay, on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Angelo Carriero here with you on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM this morning. I finally have on my guest from Tate's Creek High School, head boys basketball coach, Gerard Gay. Coach Gay, thank you for joining me this morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, doing well. I just wanted to have you on, like I've told you over the phone and right now, is that over the last couple weeks, especially in Tate's Creek Nation, there's been a lot of heartache that has gone on, including Mykel Wade's senseless murder and some subsequent things, especially with violence and gun violence and deaths in our city of some young men. I just wanted to have you on, and I felt like you were an important person for everyone to hear from right now. So I kind of wanted to just give you the floor and kind of talk about the situation with Mykel and what's going on around here in Lexington.
Right. Well, first off, I want to say thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure. It's an honor.
Thank you.
But with Mykel Wade, Mykel graduated this year and was set to begin his first year of college at the University of Louisville. Mykel was 18 years old, and he was set to major in business. Mykel had moved in on Saturday. He left a few items that he would need, and he didn't know if he would be able to get back and get those items for the school year. So he decided to come back and get those items. He got kind of late in the evening, and he attended a party in which I can say for myself and many others, it's your last party before you go off to college. You know, kids usually don't come back until, you know, Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas break. So it's kind of that final goodbye to say to your friends and see them off and everything. And as Mykel was at the party, was leaving the party or whatnot, he was murdered. And that I received a call early in the morning saying something happened to Mykel. And when I got to the scene, they said that, you know, Mykel had already passed, which hurt not only myself and his family, but a lot of people, because Mykel was very, very loved, not only by us, but by a lot of his classmates, a lot of his teammates, and a lot of his friends. And you saw that with Mykel at his visual, his balloon release, and at his funeral. I mean, so many people came out. So many people reached out to not only myself, but Coach Bordas, Jay Bordas, our assistant, our administration. So many people reached out and you know, kept his family and ours in their thoughts and prayers. So it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that we have a young man like that that was murdered, because you think about it, you know, this kid would never be able to become a father. He would never be able to vote. He's part of the next generation of leaders that you know, would never get that opportunity to be the leader of the community or the city of things like that because of the senseless act. So that right there was very hard on us. It's very hard on a lot of people. We just ask that you continue to pray for our youth. The football player from Frederick Douglass was murdered soon after that, a few days later, which was, you know, we don't know where the guns are coming from, but we're asking our parents, we're asking our, you know, our officials to, for one, let's educate our youth, let's educate our children about this, you know, and let's bring awareness to the situation. It's just very sad that we're having multiple kids, once again, who's never going to be able to become fathers or vote, et cetera, to experience life and to see, you know, what the world has to offer because of the senseless acts of guns, gun violence.
Coach Gerard Gay with me here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Coach, with Michael's passing and the circumstances around it with the gun violence and whatnot, the Tate's Creek community, how have they responded exactly, and has this started to maybe show some people like the changes that need to be made in that asset? How is everybody kind of reacting in such a with such a shock in such a short amount of time?
I mean, we're doing the best that we can as far as holding up and trying to, you know, basically just do the best that we can with this situation. But at the same time, you know, what I do with my basketball players is that, you know, we try to educate them about the use of gun violence. We try to bring awareness to the situation with, you know, hey, this is the things that can happen, even if, you know, the bullet is not intended for you. You know, the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, there's other ways of handling situations. There's other ways of, you know, dealing with certain issues, and gun violence is not one. But a lot of our administration, a lot of our teachers are not only speaking to their kids, but also their kids at home, but they're also speaking to their students, which is also a plus.
Yeah, it's great that to have, I think, these young men to have a leader like you there to help them understand, because a lot of times you can see something like that as maybe a glorification through whether that be, you know, music or you know, older family members, and this goes across all lines of race and gender and all that you see that and you think, oh man, like I want to be like my favorite this or my favorite that, and then it's not when it gets time to, when it's real. I think that's when a lot of these kids get into situations that they regret, like the young man that got the scholarship in Notre Dame, and then he was arrested for the stealing of guns in a car, and he lost his scholarship to Notre Dame, and that could haunt him for the rest of his life. And that's something that at 17 years old, you make that kind of mistake, and you can never really get it back.
Correct.
So before I let you go here, we're running a little short on time, but I want to make sure you say what you need to, what you have to say. Is there any message that you want to give to the people listening right now, or anything that you have to get off your chest from what's happened? Because I know this has caused a lot of heartache for you over the last couple weeks, as well as people in that community. I just want you to have a chance here to say what you would like to say.
Yes. Well, the first thing is that, you know, to the parents, once again, the education, the awareness, you know, we need to sit down and have these talks with these kids. We need to sit down and have a talks with our elected officials. You know, what avenues are we providing for the youth? And I understand COVID is going on right now to where, you know, the limitation of being around others and things like that. But COVID will end soon, I believe. I know it will end soon. But when it does end, what are we going to do to make sure that these kids have avenues for success? You know, job trainings, internships, things during these summers that our local officials that we elect, they have to come up with some type of solution. And then at the end of the day, you know, we're hoping that all this awareness and education that we provide to the kid, that they're able to use that and to become productive citizens in society. So that's my thing. If you guys are having an issue, you know, go talk to someone, an adult, you know, confined to them, you know, because not only if you take somebody's life, like Michael's life was taken, your life is also going to be taken when you get apprehended and you go to jail. So now there's two lives and two families that's impacted that way. So that's my message. I hope everyone who is listening continue to keep your prayers for the Wade family, for the Proctor family, the young man who lost his life at Frederick Douglass, the football player, and all those across the world.
That was very well said, Coach. And I think that Tate's Creek is lucky to have someone like you in their faculty and help leading their young men. So thank you very much for coming on with me this morning. And like you said, if COVID's ending soon, it would mean a lot to me if I was able to see you on the hardwood at some point, and we can talk about some X's and O's, and hopefully, so you know, a little, hopefully, brighter days are ahead.
Thank you,
Coach. All right, that'll do it for me. Thank you to Coach Gerard Gay for coming on of Tate's Creek boys basketball head coach. A little bit of heavy stuff here, but it is meant to improve and embolden our community and make everyone in Lexington more tight-knit and better all across, from the University of Kentucky to our high school programs to everything in between. Just be safe. Always make good decisions for yourself and for others. And Big Blue Nation, we are around the corner from football starting up. We've got some high school stuff hopefully in the works going to brighten up for everybody. And just stay together, and I hope everybody has a great rest of your week. Until next week, from 10 to 11, we'll have more sports talk here with Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM. I'm a touch the sky. Back when they thought pink polos would hurt the rock. Before Cam got